Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Massive Match Day podcast. We are presented, as always, by our good friends at Land Grant Brewing Company in Franklinton and the Old North Arcade in Old North Columbus, right there on High Street. My name is Chris Landis. I am here with Nathaniel Marhefka, and we are going to bring you everything you need to know in advance of Crew SC's trip to Bridgeview, Illinois. Today we have no high drinks, no shenanigans, all soccer talk for you. Nate, Crew SC had the Lion Kings of Disney come to town, and game went a little different than we both thought it would. It was a pretty decent performance, all things told, from Crew SC.
Yeah, I was really impressed overall. I think last week when we were on the pod, I told you about how I was wavering my predictions and how I thought that the more I thought about it, Crew SC lined up really good against Orlando, and they showed that for sure. And I'd say they proved that they can do it, and they impressed both you and I and a lot of people around MLS.
Yeah, it was third win on the trot for the boys in black and gold, and it was kind of back to basics. We've talked a lot on this show in particular, breaking down some of the tactical switches, tweaks, nuances that Greg Berhalter has been sending out there week in, week out. And this week it was kind of back to the classic Berhalterian system. I think that had a part to play, because now instead of knowing how Crew SC are going to come out and play each game, teams have to kind of try to game plan for two or three different things. And on this occasion, Orlando seemed a little caught off guard by the more straightforward Berhalter approach. What do you think?
Yeah, it was back to the basics for sure for Berhalter. Defensively, obviously still improved from last year, but offensively very similar to what we saw last season. And it worked really well this game. Got two goals and held a strong Orlando offense to zero.
Yeah, I was quaking in my boots at the thought of that Larin and Rivas matchup, and the defense anchored by Alex Cronali, rookie homegrown, another borderline dominant performance from him. This defense seems to be for real, and it doesn't really seem to matter who they're going up against. What was your big takeaway defensively? What are they doing right?
Well, they're defending as a team properly, putting enough pressure in the center of midfield on the opposition, not pressing too high. They're kind of sitting back and cutting out the passing lanes, but doing so in a really disciplined way. And team defending has been the key this year, I think, to almost all their wins.
Speaking of teamwork, we're seeing a great partnership blossoming in the center of that midfield, as you alluded to. Will Trapp, team captain, and Artur, a player who I have not been very high on, who I have been very hard on through his first few games in black and gold, went out and had just a cracker of a match. Probably player of the match, if not for a brace from Justin Merrim, and you could argue he might even have been more influential. The Brazilian starting to find his groove. Is it just he's starting to find his groove, or is Berhalter kind of finding the right way to use him, do you think?
I think it's a bit of both. When he joined the team and when he was thrown into the first match as a substitute, and neither you or I were really sure how it would pan out.
He looked lost in that first game, and it's totally understandable because he had been with the team for 10 days. Maybe.
Exactly. Just what I was about to say. So he's had time with the team to settle in, to understand his teammates, understand Berhalter's approach a bit better. And same with Berhalter, I'm sure, has understood him as a player more and how to work with him. And he's really impressed, both offensively and defensively. Defensively, he's proved to be a really strong tackler and really technical defender, which kind of has really surprised me. Offensively, he's been really solid. His passing's great. His dribbling's really good, which is about what we'd expect from a Brazilian midfielder.
Yeah, he definitely looked far more comfortable doing what he was asked to do this game as opposed to in the previous match, where Offal was kind of tucked in as an extra midfielder and Artur was kind of asked to recycle the ball more, he didn't seem to have quite as much freedom in that game. I think the freedom to kind of play wide and vertical as well definitely... He looked more comfortable. I think it showed out on the field. The other outstanding performance, obviously, Justin Merrim continues to be one of the best offensive players in the league. early candidate to be MVP of the team again. He's just been all over the place in a good way, and he's scoring goals for fun, bagging a brace in this one. What are your thoughts on J9's early season surge here?
He is on the form of his life. It's really great. It's really fun to watch. It's fun to watch him play. He has been super influential for the team and obviously scoring goals. So hopefully he can keep it up. Hopefully this isn't just a short bit of super form. Hopefully he can sustain it.
He also was not an early sub this game. We usually see him subbed out around the hour mark. In this game, I don't think he came out till the 80-some-odd minute. Actually, I believe he might have actually finished the game now that I think about it. They might have pulled Finley instead. So Miram in form and a danger man for Crew SC, which is obviously a big, big positive. Every week here at Massive Match Day, we are going to break down a particular play. Nate, what do you have for us this week?
All right, so I have right around the 17th minute mark. It's actually 17:20 for those with MLS Live or replay capabilities. Yeah, there's this timestamp for you if you want to go back and look at it. I found this play to be really fun to watch, and so did people around the internet. I saw a few videos of it circling.
While the game was still going on.
While the game was still going on, and even after. I mean, not even necessarily from Columbus fans, just around the league. You know, other teams, other fans alike saying, wow, really impressive. So build up play, and Artur is at the center of it. So if you can go ahead and press play on that now. We see Artur go back with the tackle. Great pressure defensively as a unit with the team. Back and forth with his center back, Nico Ness, with Raitala, back to Artur, over to Justin Merrim, back to Artur, up to Higuain, back to Artur, and then he tries to play a long ball. Artur made, I lost count, 6 or 7 passes there. It was awesome. And that is the type of player that we need to really get this fueling during build-up play.
Yeah, that build-up play is such an integral part of Greg Berhalter's kind of ideal system. You know, he... And Artur looks like he's going to be a kind of key cog in that. The keeping possession is always the first thing out of Greg Berhalter's mouth in every press conference, it seems. It's about keeping possession, playing their style of game. And that kind of slick passing is something we haven't always seen. You know, Federico Higuain, obviously very good at the one-touch passing, the putting the ball where it needs to be. But sometimes, you know, it was frustrating because some of his teammates didn't necessarily read that. And in this match, it was very obvious that Artur did. He saw it the same way, and perhaps it's a South American connection. I actually distinctly recall one play in the first half, probably halfway through the first half, Artur put the ball into space for Higuain to run onto, and Higuain didn't read it. And I can't think of a time that's ever happened in Crew SC. I don't know if Higuain just didn't read it, or if he probably read it but thought, well, there's no way my teammate's going to read it because he's had so many years of playing in Columbus where he's the only guy who sees it. But it was really encouraging to see a passing build-up like that. Obviously, you want to see something on the end of it. The long ball over the top didn't quite pan out, but that was part of the game plan. They were trying to split those center backs like we talked about last week, so it wasn't just an aimless long ball. They knew Orlando was susceptible to that kind of thing. It just, that one didn't happen to pan out, but definitely an encouraging sign to see that sort of play, that sort of calmness, too. It wasn't a frantic, oh, you take it, you take it, you take it. I think that if that's the kind of chemistry this team is building, it's a very, very promising sort of ideal to work towards. And it's early season, which is really, really important.
How do you think that's going to translate to the Chicago match?
Bridgeview. They play in Bridgeview. It's Bridgeview round 2 this week, a rematch from Cruz Miss Day. Excellent segue there. How that's going to translate, I don't really know, because there's a wild card in play here that was not on the field first time out for Bridgeview, and that is Bastian Schweinsteiger, who made an impact directly in his first match for the Fire. He scored a goal early on the Mothership pod. There was a lot of speculation how he's going to be asked to play in that midfield. Is he going to be asked to be more of a number 10, which is not necessarily his natural role, or will he be more of that deep line playmaker? Juninho's out for this one because he's afraid to play Columbus. So really, that's kind of the key Key question here, Nate. How do you see Bridgeview coming out and playing with Bastian Schweinsteiger?
Well, against Montreal, they did use him in, I guess, a forward playing number 8. Wasn't quite a number 10 because they had usually Janino as a kind of solo holding midfielder with Dax to his right and Schweinsteiger to his left. But with Schweinsteiger given more freedom to move up the field and in the center of the pitch. So he was a focal point of their attacks once they got into the final third and wasn't necessarily very active in build-up play. And I think we'll probably see something similar against Columbus.
So how do Crew SC go about kind of shutting that down? Is it going to be falling mainly on the center backs, Ness and Cronali, or will it be more of an Arturan trap responsibility?
I think it's going to be more Arturan trap. Schweinsteiger is going to look to get into those positions. Not quite in the hole, kind of in front of the hole. He may bounce in the hole, like by in the hole, I mean between the defensive midfielders and the defenders.
The Higuain space almost.
Sure. We may see him in there a little bit, but I think he's going to be looking to get on the side of Trapp and Arthur.
And for fans who haven't necessarily seen Schweinsteiger play all that much, save perhaps an odd World Cup match here and there, what does he bring to the table for this Bridgeview team? What type of player are the Fire bringing in here with Schweinsteiger?
Well, he is actually a wild card. He's really great on the ball. He's a terrific passer. His movement has decreased with his age. He's not that old. I'm not sure, 31 or 32, but he has kind of lost his feet. He's not a very fast player, but he's a very technical player. He's going to pick his head up, look for that killer pass, move into these brilliant spots, and he just plays very, very smart, and he has a wicked shot too. Early in his days at Bayern Munich, I even saw him play left back. He played holding midfielder. He played right midfielder and left midfielder sometimes for the national team even. So he's very versatile. So they have quite a weapon to utilize.
Another weapon that they have is the center forward, Nemanja Nikolic. I struggle with the umlauts. I apologize to everyone of Yugoslavian and Hungarian heritage who I just insulted by butchering his name.
That's me, jerk.
I'm sorry. I struggle with umlauts. They don't teach that kind of stuff, man. It's fifth. I still know how to say Luka Modric's name, okay? I'm still trying to figure that out. But Nikolic, he looked dangerous in that Christmas Day game. There were a couple of occasions where he got in behind the back line and Crew SC would have been in real trouble, but for the offside flag. If he times his runs better, I think that's definitely a potential hiccup for the Crew SC defense because he looked to be dangerous.
Yeah, he's a really terrific player, and it pains me to say it as a Lech Poznan fan. Nikolic played in Poland for Legia Warsaw for a few years, and he is quite the poacher. So I had a chance to watch him play for several years. And his movement, he's not a very athletic player, but his movements aren't what he's known for. So him holding his runs, timing his runs, I don't know if we're going to necessarily see a huge improvement. Maybe we will as he gets adapted to the system in Chicago. But he is a poacher. He's going to run in the box. He has a powerful header, wicked volley, hard shot. He's a clinical finisher when in front of net. So I think that they need to do more work on Chicago's end to set him up inside the box.
And that may be where Schweinsteiger's kind of playmaking abilities we were alluding to come into
play. Absolutely.
The job of shutting down this Bridgeview offense will likely fall on the shoulders of Nikolai Ness and Alex Cronali Jonathan Mensah likely out of this one, from what we understand. It's not officially out. He's still listed as questionable. He's listed as questionable on the injury report alongside Harrison Awful, Brad Stuver, and Zach Steffens. Today, Pat Murphy, our man on the practice beat, said out of those four, the only one he's expecting to miss any time is Jonathan Mensah. So no need to panic yet. We do have goalkeepers. Harrison Awful, probably not anything serious. So it'll likely be that Ness and Crenali combination in the center of the park. I don't think it's likely that we see a back three because the team's playing so well. I don't necessarily think Berhalter's going to rock that particular boat too hard, even though Josh Williams is a very, very capable capable stopgap, as it were. How do you see Kruse lining up in this one? Not necessarily with the first 11 because it probably picks itself with this role they're on, but tactically, what do you expect to see from Berhalter this one, this matchup?
I see them slowing it down offensively a little bit. Chicago's midfield traps are going to be pretty good, and they're going to be very different than what we saw from Orlando. Orlando tried to stick Columbus out in the wing and, you know, basically crucify them there. Chicago is going to have a very different approach. Expect Chicago to come out and start pressing the back line a little bit, not as aggressive as Orlando did off the gate, but expect them to play very aggressively defensively. And as a result, I think Columbus may have to slow their game down a little bit. So we're going to have to see a little bit more playmaking duties from the likes of Arthur, Trapp, and even Higuain from deep.
What we saw in the opening day, the opening day contest, it was kind of a tale of two halves. In the first half, Bridgeview kind of sat back and let Kruse dictate. And the big change was when they started playing wider in that second half and they started pressing higher up the pitch. You would have to think that Bridgeview are going to come out that way, that had so much success in that second half. Do you see Kruse kind of adjusting from the go to that, or do you see them kind of coming out and going, we're going to play our way, and if we have to adjust, we adjust?
Yeah, I think that they are going to play more similar to that, especially now that they have Schweinsteiger in the lineup. It is a little bit of a question mark with Juninho being out. I guess Michael DeLeo will probably slot in for him, but he's a little bit more of an attacking player than Juninho is, so we may see Schweinsteiger playing a little bit deeper role. However, I expect them to go with a similar lineup as they did with Montreal. They fielded a 4-3-3, which was very similar to the 4-3-3 that we saw against Columbus in the second half of the first game this year. And they had lighter pressing than they did against Columbus, possibly because they used it the entire match and they didn't use it at the tail end of the match as, you know, an aggressive maneuver.
Yeah.
So I think light pressing and a 4-3-3 playing a little bit wider is what we'll see.
So more of a selective implementation of the high press, not a full out, we're gonna blitz you. It's going to be more of a situational press, you think?
That's what I would expect, especially for how good Columbus is on the ball.
So we've talked about Schweinsteiger being a wild card for the Fire. Odds on that we see Kakuta Mane in this one for Kruse. He's with the team. He's been practicing. He's not injured. Do you expect to see the new boy out there in black and gold?
I think we see him. I don't know if we see him start. It is an away match in Chicago.
And the team's on a 3-game winning streak.
And they are, right. So I don't see Berhalter making that change directly unless he really wants to out Ethan Finley, but I think Ethan Finley has played, you know, decently enough to retain his spot, especially so away at Chicago on a 3-game winning streak. So I think we may see Kakuta Mane come in as a late second half substitute as a little bit of spark.
Yeah, an energy booster for sure. How does Mane? Well, we really don't know because we haven't seen him. We speculated when we talked about the trade last week. How he's going to impact this team if he comes on as a late substitute? I would expect to see him, you know, kind of just getting the ball at his feet and running at people. Kind of trying to take on tired defenders. Is that what you would expect to see?
Totally. He's one of the fastest players in MLS, and he's very good on the ball. He's a good dribbler. And has a pretty good shot on him, even though it can be inconsistent at times. So, yeah, I see him being a more direct player, a player that can take it to the opposition.
Do we have an actual stat on fastest players in MLS, or are we just going by the FIFA stats?
Oh,
is that what we're doing?
We're going by FIFA.
We're supposed to be the serious soccer show here, man. Come on.
No, well, it's also It's also judged on the copious amounts of MLS that I watch.
That you do watch way more MLS than I do, and hats off to you, because this show would be in a lot of trouble if you didn't. So what do you see as being the key matchup for this one?
Key matchup? Man, that's kind of hard. These two teams are playing pretty complete. So it's each team against each other. It's really hard to narrow it down, this match, and I don't know why, but it is.
Well, I'll answer my own question then. I'm seeing this one coming down to how Will Trapp and Artur combine to deal with Bastian Schweinsteiger. If they can cut off the service to Akam and to Nikolic, right? Didn't say that right?
Yes.
All right. If they can cut off the service to those two danger men up top, I think the route to doing that is stopping Schweinsteiger, because he's probably going to be taking on an increasing amount of playmaker duties for this Bridgeview side. So I think this game is won and lost in the middle of the park, whether McCarty and Schweinsteiger or Trapp and Artur come out on top. I think that's where we're going to see the real clash.
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. And most matches between these two sides has been won or lost or drawn, as we've seen very often.
A lot of draws, yeah.
In the middle of the park. So I think you're probably spot on with that.
Not going too far out on a limb there, I guess. So, what's your prediction score wise? You've been on a bit of a roll here lately. What do you see this one shaking out into?
Have I been? I guess I've been doing okay.
You got the win last week when everybody and their Aunt Sally was predicting a disastrous crew performance, myself included.
That is true. I'm not sure if it was me being hopeful, or if me actually knowing something. However, I think this week, I think that there's potential for a lot of goals for Columbus. Chicago's defense has looked improved, but Columbus's offense has also looked improved. I see this one going away from the curve, and I say Columbus Crew SC 3, Chicago Fire 1, had a big upset at home in Bridgeview.
I'm of a similar mindset. I have this one going 2-1 to the good guys in black and gold. Historically, Bridgeview has not been very welcoming to the Ohioans, but I think this time out, Crew SC have enough to get it done against the Bridgeview Fire. You got anything else for us, Nate?
Let's bring on the game. Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. It's a 2 p.m. kickoff?
Yes.
Yes, 2 p.m. kickoff. 2
p.m. So. Eastern time.
Eastern Standard Time, Daylight Time, Eastern Daylight Time. Two great places to take in that match are at the Land Grant Brewing Company in Franklinton or at the Old North Arcade in Old North Columbus, depending on where you're situated in the Central Ohio area. Two fine establishments to take in a away match or any match if you don't have tickets to the fray. Good places to watch always. Good beverages, good times, good people at both. My name is Chris Landis. You can find me on Twitter at Chris Landis, KrisLandis. He is Nathaniel Marhefka. He is the very simple Glory to Columbus on Twitter. You can get at all of us at Massive Report. Use the hashtag Massive Match Day. If you got any comments, concerns, criticisms, tell us we suck, tell us we rock. We prefer the latter. Get at us, let us know. We love hearing from you. So thanks to everyone who's listening. Thanks again to our sponsors. And everyone enjoy the match this weekend and stay massive.